Hello. The Bible reading for today is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It can be found on page 37 of the Bible. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Gale warning issued 26th of January 2141. Severe gale force 9 backing northeasterly and decreasing gale force 8 soon. East 7 to severe gale 9 backing north 5 to 7. Very rough, becoming moderate or rough. Sleet at first, then wintry showers, moderate, occasionally poor. Hebrides. North 7 to severe gale 9, backing northwest 5 or 6. Very rough or high, becoming rough. Wintry showers, mainly good. Familiar words in terms of a language that we sometimes hear and yet perhaps vaguely only understand. If you're new to the UK, that is part of the shipping forecast, which normally is on the radio at about 12:15. And if you have the opportunity to be up late at night and you're listening to the radio, there's this kind of lilting voice that talks in this way for many minutes. And it has a sort of a fascination, kind of draws you in, because you sort of understand it, but you sort of don't. And think, what does it mean? What is Doggerfischer German bite? What does it mean? I have a friend who I was at school with, actually one of my classmates when I was at senior school, called Charlie Connolly. And he wrote this book called Attention All Shipping. And it actually followed the story as Charlie went around the area of the shipping forecast. And he went to these places. He actually travelled out and went to somewhere in the Hebrides and went to somewhere called Viking in the middle of the sea and tried to trace the stories. And it actually became Radio 4 Book of the Week. So if any of you want to follow this through in a deeper way, then attentional shipping might be of interest to you. But sometimes you listen to it and you think, well, wintry showers, mainly good. I think, really? There's a kind of a hidden code, and as I've looked a little bit more into it, it seems that each of these statements actually has behind it a theme. So it starts off with wind, and then it moves on to the sea state, and then it moves on to the weather, wintry showers, and then it moves on to visibility, which they don't necessarily say, mainly good. So they bring it together. But unless you're like Hazel, an oceanographer, I guess for many of us, we don't really need to pay rapt attention to the shipping forecast on a daily basis. Because for many of us, we perhaps haven't had that experience of being out in severe force gales at sea. But I suspect that in our lives, many of us know the reality of storms and gales. Jesus calming the storm. A great gale arose and the wind and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. Jesus brought peace to others, and he knew peace in his life. As we look at the Bible, we can find at times revelatory insights into the life and ministry of Jesus. We're working through Mark's Gospel in this sermon series, and if you were to turn to the opening chapter and to verse 35, you'd read these words. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Often at decision times, at crunch times in ministry, we see Jesus turning to this place of prayer, coming to that place where he finds and makes time to be specifically and intentionally alone with the Father. And there's a sense, as we read through that chapter, chapter 1, of the pressure of human expectations crowding in, and a sense of priorities being considered and focused upon. In the morning, while it was very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go out to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." It may be that the world is clamoring and pressing and demanding, and the emails are relentless and the phone is ringing and things are landing on the doormat. But do we know what the priorities of our Heavenly Father are for our lives? Do we know what it is that when we come to that moment where we can say, "This is why I am here. This is what God is calling me to do. This is how I'm to be living my life." That we know what the priorities are for God in our lives. Do we find and seek and make time for that quiet place? That place of intentionality. That place of seeking where we can come and seek God and know his will for our lives. Sometimes we can sense an emptiness inside us. It's often been described as a God-shaped hole. That bit of us that whatever we try and put in it, we just can't satisfy it. Nothing in the world seems to be able to meet that need. The God-shaped hole. And Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." John 14:27. Sometimes in sermons over the years, there are illustrations that are used, and you kind of take an illustration and use it, perhaps a bit like this shipping forecast one. And it serves a purpose for a particular sermon, and then you move on and there's another sermon, and perhaps it's only ever used once. But sometimes there are illustrations that you come to and you find actually you need to keep on coming back to it. And you find that it has a resonance that makes it not just a sermon illustration, but something that's practical for life. And you may have heard me talk about the bridge of the ship before. Gordon MacDonald, in his book Ordering Your Private World, talks about this picture of the ship, the bridge of the ship, the place right kind of in the centre, the command centre, the place where decisions are made. And I'd like to return to this today. A submarine officer once told the story of a time when he was on duty in the Mediterranean. Many ships were passing overhead on the surface, and the submarine was having to make a large number of violent manoeuvres in order to avoid possible collisions. Because there was such a sudden and unusual amount of movement, the captain, who had been in his own quarters, suddenly appeared. So he appeared in the bridge of the ship, asking, "Is everything all right?" "Yes, sir," was the officer's reply. The captain took a quick look around and then started back out through the hatch to leave the submarine's bridge. As he disappeared, he said, "It looks all right to me, too." That place where, despite the chaos and turmoil of what is happening in the outer circumstances of our lives, that place in the bridge of the ship, we may refer to it as the garden, that place, our inner world, where we find the opportunity to come and know a sense of peace that isn't because of the circumstances, but is a sort of peace that is there despite the circumstances, right at the inner core of who we are. In the Psalms, David, writing in metaphor, talked of being made to lie down in green pastures, of being led by still waters, by the shepherd who, he said, restores my soul. Through the darkest valley, in the presence of my enemies, he talked of having a restored soul. It's not primarily about the outside, about the pressures and difficulties, but first and foremost, where we are able to find, when we look for it, that strength to cope with those pressures, that ability to come within the context of a world that is pressing in and being able to see by eyes of faith. And so we read in this passage two pictures. We can see the story of the great gale. We can hear of the cries of the disciples as they cry out that they're nearly being swamped. Don't you care? And there's that picture on the one hand. And then on the other hand, as we look at what Jesus does and how he brings about his peace. So we read of dead calm, waves being still, sea being calmed. When we were at the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity on Friday, that was just held here at the church, so we reflected on another passage, actually, from Psalm 27. And in there, we talked about the fact that in some ways we need a two-column theology. That sometimes we can be in a situation that seems to bring together a whole mesh of ideas that are interwoven. And in that particular psalm, Psalm 27, on the one hand, we were able to see one column of activity. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble. Though an army besiege me, though war break out against me. And over on this column, there was just this tyranny of enemies and war and wickedness and fear. And then in these short words, we also looked at the other column, as it were. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. My heart will not fear. Even then will I be confident. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord, him in his temple. And the middle bit where it brought these two together was the seeking. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. And to seek. This seeking that going from this place of fear and trouble, that actually we would focus on the stronghold of God, his light, his salvation. And it's in the midst of this coming together of all of life that we have this choice. We can sometimes look and see the waves, or we can look to our Creator. We can look to Jesus and we can see him as the bringer of peace, the Prince of Peace. In today's passage, there was a physical change in the circumstances as the disciples were there in the boat. One minute they're looking out and there are storms and waves. The next minute they look out and it is calm and peaceful. There's a physical transformation. But is that always the case? Are the circumstances always physically changed? I think as we look through Scripture, we'll find that there are occasions where there are two sets of things happening. Sometimes there is a physical change, but sometimes there is a change in perception. A change in spiritual status, a change in our understanding in our souls. Let's take the healing of the paralyzed man who was lying on a mat. I don't know if you remember that story, but the situation is that Jesus was there, there's a paralyzed man on a mat, and various things happen, and Jesus says to him, get up, be healed. And he gets up, he carries his mat, and he walks out. And he is physically, his circumstances are changed. But in that story and that situation, we find that there's something remarkable happening behind the scenes as well, where Jesus says to him, son, your sins are forgiven. He said that first, actually. Your sins are forgiven. There is a change in that man's spiritual state. And people said, well, who's this who can forgive sins? And he says, okay, well, so that you know that I can forgive sins, which is easier. And he tells him, get up, take up your mat and walk. And there's a physical healing. But there is this combination of seen and unseen. Change circumstances that we can physically see. And change circumstances that are perhaps harder to see, but are spiritually bringing peace. Those words, as that man heard those words, son, your sins are forgiven. There's a peace that must have entered his soul, his heart at that moment. As all those things that had got in the way of his relationship with God had just been taken away. They're forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. And if that man had not been healed physically, there would still have been a miraculous and wonderful thing that took place that day as his soul found peace in God in a new and fresh way. Sometimes perhaps we see that the physical situation changes. Sometimes we don't see the physical situation change, but we see the whole situation being different. Let's take some of the prison scenarios. Interestingly, Martin already talked about Saul and Paul and Silas in prison. And we find that there are those times where in the New Testament stories of prison, there are stories of release, where literally the chains fell off, the doors were opened, the angel came, and there was that opportunity for there to be physical release from prison and that opportunity for physical change. But there are also those times when we read of people remaining in prison. The time when Paul was still under house arrest, he was still facing his imminent death, he was still in that situation where he was imprisoned, and yet knowing God with him in the midst of that. A physical situation that was unchanged. He's still there. He's still under arrest. And yet there's this opportunity for him to know God in the midst of it all with him, right there with him, and to know peace in his soul. What about a situation where Jesus was out there? There were times when the crowds came up, and there's a situation in the New Testament where we read that the crowd gathered round and they wanted to throw him over the cliff. And on that occasion, Jesus, we don't really hear how he did it, but we just read that he just walked through their midst. So there's a kind of a baying mob who are about to try and throw him over a cliff, and somehow Jesus just walks through them and walks off. And on that occasion, the physical situation changed. There was a baying mob. And then the situation is that Jesus is there in a place of peace and calm without the baying mob. And the physical situation has changed. And yet, what about when Jesus was there and there was another baying mob? And Jesus surrendered to their will. And he allowed the mob and the rulers, earthly wise, to come and to take him and to nail him to a cross. There's no physical change. The crowd is still there. The nails are still there. And yet, as he hung upon the cross, he was able to say, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. And to know a peace that passed anything that the world could offer, as he offered himself fully and totally surrendered to his heavenly Father, and knowing the peace to be able to breathe his last in full acceptance of his Father's will. And so maybe for us in our lives, the physical situation may not change. There may still be lashing waves. There may still be hospital appointments. There may still be grief. There may still be debts. There may still be these things, and we're still going through the midst of them. And they're not just taken away. And yet we have the opportunity to know a God who is with us, and as we put our trust in him, who allows us to see the circumstances in a different way. And maybe we may find his presence through the hand on the shoulder, through the opportunity of hope through an organization that comes and says, well, actually, we can work with you in this situation. Maybe there is a peace that as we look to Christ, we find that in the midst of the storm, there is a peace and a stillness. Let's recognize that sometimes this is a journey. Let's speak with integrity to each other and say it's not always that when Christ offers us peace, that always instantaneously we know the joy and release of walking in that peace. Sometimes we get glimpses of it. Sometimes we struggle with understanding it. In the situation here, the disciples, the moment when Jesus had calmed the storm, what's their reaction? The wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" The NIV puts it in slightly clearer ways. They were terrified. He's just calmed the storm. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And sometimes we may not get it right. We may not immediately receive and understand the peace that Christ offers. But it is a steadfast and firm offer. It is an offer based not on wishful thinking or putting your head in the sand. It's based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's based on the infilling and empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. The reality is that the closer we get to Jesus and the more we trust him, the closer we get to the centre of God's will, whilst the circumstances may or may not change, the more peace we will sense in our soul.